Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becklass AB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
San Antonio District Judge resigns after a federal corruption probe.
A former San Antonio, Texas judge goes to federal prison after pleading guilty to accepting bribes in exchange for rigging cases in his court. Angus McGinty committed the ultimate judicial sin. Why did you do it?
I did it because I was foolish.
Listen to How to Bribe a Judge on RevolverPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following podcast is a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be sent to DeSantisProd@gmail.com. The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
John Anik, Kenny Florian.
Oh, my God!
You want a podcast? Great.
They have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Oh, is it good to be with you? It is the 8th of April, Monday morning, Pacific time, 9:49 a.m. The year is 2019. This is episode 197 of the Anik and Florian podcast. Looks like Ken Flo's got the hair nice and short today. Beard coming back a little bit, but you look refreshed and ready to attack this Monday, you know, Jocko Willink style.
I wish, man. I got to say, do you look fresh as well, my man? I don't know if it's the weekend off finally. You finally got a chance to enjoy that. You look tan.
Dude,
you got your Brazil
shot.
Number 10 jacket on. I mean, come on.
I got my Brazil jacket on. It actually is Jamaica, but we will not tell the Brazilians that. When I wear this during UFC Fight Week, and the Brazilians are like, oh, I love you. You know, it's like, yep, this is not a Jamaica shirt. This is a Brazil shirt. But no, I got charred at Delray Beach yesterday, so that's the reason for the extra color. But yeah, we're ready to rock. It is UFC 236 Fight Week, and we have got a ton to get to today, not the least of which will be Ken Flo's selections for all five pay-per-view main card fights. I know you got BattleBots coming up. So will you be able to watch these fights live, or is that not in the cards for you Saturday night?
Oh, I certainly hope so. We usually finish a little bit late, but I will do my best to get back in time and watch these damn fights, man. I'm really excited about this pay-per-view, and I definitely don't want to miss it.
All right, we're going to get to Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier here in a second off the top, and then Longo coming up in about 7 minutes because he would only have it that way. But a lot of the MMA headlines or MMA space over the weekend with respect to professional wrestling were dominated by this bare knuckle boxing event and this fight between Mississippi Mean, Jason Knight, and Artem Lobov. I know you've seen the pictures and at least some highlights. I mean, any number of different ways we could go with this. Did you see any of this Jason Knight, Artem Lobov stuff over the weekend?
I saw a clip. And all I could say is, fucking ow, ow. What are they doing, man? I don't know,
dude. I know.
I don't know about that. That's one of those where, I mean, is there any amount of money for two professional fighters to fight bare knuckle, just smashing each other in the face? Like, what's the most that these guys are making to basically be completely scarred up, for the rest of their life, not to mention bashed in the brain repeatedly with no gloves on.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yes, I appreciate their toughness. I appreciate the fact that these two men went at it and showed an amazing amount of toughness and intensity. But my heart goes out to them, man. There's just a part of me that, listen, mixed martial arts is a tough sport, but this, they have one choice, and that's to stand up and only bash each other in the head. And I don't know, man. It just takes a lot of the art out of what we do, I think, in my opinion. And I don't know. I hope those guys are okay. Didn't suffer too much damage. And then I see a quick turnaround for Artem Lobov against another professional boxer in Paulo Malignaggi in June. What?
Oh, well.
Please don't do it, Artem. Just time off, man. At least, please.
Oh, man, I hadn't seen that they were going to turn him around in June. That's a whole different conversation.
Against Malignaggi, a professional boxer, a dude who, I mean, talk about throwing hands. I don't know, man. It's a different level when you get a guy. Yes, you know, Jason Knight can throw, I'm sure, and he's a professional fighter. But, again, there's yet another level when you get a guy like a Paulo Malignaggi with all of his experience as a professional boxer. Bare knuckle. And you're going to put him against Artem Lobov, a guy who's not really known for his defense, and you're going to do that in June after a fight like that against Jason Knight? Come on, man. There's got to be some kind of conscience there. And the promoters, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just not aware of it, but I don't know. I don't like that.
Well, fighter safety certainly not at the forefront. Most MMA fans, Kenny, that I've heard from don't seem to have the appetite for this, or they don't like it. Certainly, most of us aren't going to like it when compared to modern day mixed martial arts. But a lot of people in the fight game suggested it was one of the best fights they've seen in a while. And I think in terms of toughness and heart and just two guys willing to lay it all on the line, it certainly had all of that. And then some. Someone also suggested to me it's kind of hard to have an opinion about this without knowing how much these guys are making. I didn't find any salary information out there, but you just hope these guys are making some money. And I'm not sure if Artem Lobov is a father. I know Jason Knight is times at least two, and he's got a new gym in Mississippi. And just, you know, the short-term gain in terms of the long-term price you pay, I just don't know. And, you know, I know Jason Knight tweeted or posted something on social media to the fact of, hey, I know it looks bad, but we're okay. And Artem gave me the fight I've been looking for my whole life. And, you know, if we're scratching some itch as far as that's concerned, then power to the athletes. I can't relate to this type of toughness. You know, I've said here, I mean, my daughter points her toes at my midsection, Ken Flo, and I'm in pain, you know. So, but, yeah, man, just some hard visuals for sure after the fact. And, you know, we talk about getting hit with 4-ounce gloves being a big deal. Knuckles, man, just crazy, just absolutely crazy. And geez, Lobov and June, let's hope that's not the case, huh?
I know. And it's the matchup as well, dude. Like,
of course.
Come on, man. I hope those guys are okay. And I hope they made more than just some money. I hope they made a lot of money, but I don't know about that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think the trade-off was enough. But,
well, they certainly captured the attention of the masses, and after 9 consecutive weekends with a UFC live event, to not have one this weekend, I think there are a lot of people out there maybe looking to watch something and maybe weren't college basketball fans, and they pulled the trigger, and you saw something that was a lot of things, but certainly in some part, I guess it was epic. We would have spent more time on that, but there are 2 UFC championship fights this weekend, and as I tweeted a few days ago, maybe the best part of this job for me, Kenny, is watching fighters when they get their first UFC championship opportunity. And for 3 fighters, that chance beckons this weekend. Of course, Kelvin Gastelum had the fight against Robert Whittaker go away in February. So first title shot for Kelvin Gastelum, first title fight for Adesanya, just 13 months into his UFC career. And for Dustin Poirier, this UFC lifer, there was no guarantee, Kenny, that he was ever going to get a lightweight championship opportunity. He has certainly put himself in position, and the fact that he is getting a chance to fight for a piece of UFC gold this weekend, interim or otherwise, just really gets me off the couch, and I love my kids, but I can't wait to get to Atlanta.
There is so much to love about this fight in general. There is so much intrigue around this fight. I've been going back and forth on who I thought or who I think is going to win this fight. Again, Dustin Poirier, seeing this guy come up, I've cut weight with him in the sauna together when we were cutting weight down to 145 pounds, and looking at him and going, Man, he's got to be suffering just as bad as I am. Ah. He's just as big as I am. He's younger, of course, so it's a little bit easier. But, man, he was a big 45er, which is Max Holloway's weight class, of course. And now having the opportunity to fight at 155 pounds, dealing with all the ups and downs that he's dealt with through his career, I feel like he has come full circle, man. And it's great to see that. A lot of people look at that and go, well, you know, he was a guy never able to do it at 45, never able to do it yet at 55. It's his persistence and his dedication to martial arts that has allowed him to be in this situation right now. I think he's as good as he's ever been. He has been evolving and improving both mentally, physically, spiritually. But the same can be said for Max Holloway, the 145-pound champion, a guy who has looked pretty invincible at that weight class, will go down perhaps as the best featherweight of all time. He has defeated who was the best featherweight of all time, in my opinion, in Jose Aldo twice by finish. He is sharp. He is smooth. He is confident. He is also improving and evolving as a fighter. This just might be his weight class at 155 pounds now moving forward. I am fascinated by this fight, man. I can't wait to break it down with you.
So Max Holloway has won 13 consecutive fights in the UFC.
And unreal.
There aren't a lot of double-digit winning streaks in UFC history. It began January 4th, 2014. I'll run through his opponents very quickly. Will Chope, Andre Feely, Clay Collard, Akira Kourasani, Cole Miller, Cub Swanson, Charles Oliveira, Jeremy Stevens, Ricardo Lamas, Anthony Pettis, Jose Aldo times two, Brian Ortega, future Hall of Famer, moving up, trying to become a two-division champion this weekend. He's a 2-1 favorite to do so. I agree with you. I think he's going to do his best work, 155 pounds. I think this featherweight run that he is on currently is going to be something historically that is very difficult to top, even though there are only a handful of championship defenses thus far for Max Holloway. But for Dustin Poirier, right, if Tony Ferguson signs on the dotted line and takes this fight at UFC 236, then you're looking at another 18 months for Dustin Poirier potentially to get his first UFC championship opportunity. And all the while, he's going to have to beat another one or two of the best 155-pounders in the world. So when you get this opportunity, even though it may not be on the perfect timeline, I think if you're Israel Adesanya maybe, you would have liked a little bit more time for this Kelvin Gastelum fight after just fighting Anderson Silva back in February. Sometimes you got to take the chance, and it is coming Dustin Poirier's way. He's an underdog, but I'm excited to see what the King of Lafayette, Louisiana can do against a guy in Max Blessed Holloway that just might be the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world today. So a very exciting main event, and we'll get Ken Flo's prediction a little bit later. Longo's got a pick for you on this. Let's get to the Ray Longo.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in his fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute.
Starring Ray Longo. The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
What's up, Ray?
How we doing, Ken Flo? Were you in New York this weekend?
I was in New York for a few days. Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was good. It was good. It was good to be back there, and had a good time. Got back yesterday afternoon.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
That's too bad that you guys couldn't connect.
I know. It was a quick one. I was there Thursday night to Sunday, and it was a freaking whirlwind as always.
I got to tell you, man, my last 2 days, I did a thing for Parkinson's yesterday morning and taught and had Frivol around. Today, yeah. I'm done today. I mean, self-defense seminar for 42 high school seniors.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I do.
It's nonstop. All right.
I don't even know where to begin.
Dang. Well, you got too many irons in the fire, but we're speeding, so all of this is going to end up in the show. I will say, too, you know, when I look at my favorites in my iPhone, hey, Ray, do you have a favorites list in your iPhone, the numbers that you use more often than the other ones?
I actually don't, but I like the idea, but I don't have them.
No. Isn't that amazing? God love them. Well, I just want to let you know.
Look, I'm bad. Anything with technology and social, that don't count me out. I'm really bad. I wish I was better.
Well, I just bring it up.
I'd love to see.
I bring it up in the context of the fact that as I sit here and look at my favorites, I have a text message to Ray Longo in there in my favorites, and I don't think you're anywhere near Ken Flo's favorites list. It's not that he doesn't love you and appreciate your friendship, but, you know, he's got a couple days doing grappling commentary in New York. It's like Ray Longo's not his first phone call, and that's okay.
He's trying to start shit, Ray. He's trying to start shit.
If I did have a favorites list, both of you guys would be on them. But John, you especially, buddy. I think I do love the pictures of your kid that you put up on Instagram. And what a cute kid, man. I love all that stuff. So
Thank you, man. If I don't compliment,
I'm complimenting now. I'd rather.
Well, thank you. I always
like doing
that.
Things in person, you know. But I get a kick out of that.
Well, we'll see how it goes for my son. His dad made him when his dad was pretty old. So we'll see how it goes. So, all right. So Ray, I got an email from the UFC courtesy of one Mirab Davalishvili. Heretofore, he will now be known as Mirab the Machine Davalishvili. Are you aware of the name change that Mirab sent in advance of his next fight?
Man, I am totally unaware. I think I might be responsible for the nickname, but
aware
that he did send that in. Yeah, oh, he's a machine. You know, so, I got to tell you, I mean, he's just, besides being a great guy, you all know I always say that, but I mean, Saturday, the sparring, Aya Quinta was on fire, and I think Mirab sees that, and he wants to, you know, he's fighting the three rounds. He wants to do 10 rounds of sparring. He just... he can't get enough, that guy. We just kept putting new people in with him, and he's a machine. The guy is 100% a machine. So that nickname, these guys, I think they all have appropriate nicknames. You know, Funkmaster, Al Raging Al.
Raging Al's the best nickname in the game.
I got to tell you, I just saw, I don't know who put it up, that I forgot, not that I forgot about it, but I really... My hat goes off to you. That thing in Virginia was brutal when you were trying to do. Oh my God.
Yeah, if you don't know what Ray is referencing, it was a post-fight interview in 2015 in Virginia. Ken Flo was there with me. And Jorge Masvidal and Ally Quinta fought to a split decision. Raging Al got the win. Crowd, a lot of, I think, George Mason University students, if I'm not mistaken.
But a lot
of the crowd thought that Masvidal should have gotten the nod. And of course, Raging Al famously said, "The guy's booing me. Fuck you." And it was perfect.
poor John. I was looking at that and I was like, "Oh my God, that was crazy."
Oh, poor John. Why did he grow his fucking hair out? I mean, what an embarrassment! You know? What a complete fucking embarrassment.
So, John gets lucky with all the good post-fight interviews. I mean, he's had a lot of classic ones. He's had a lot of classic ones.
I feel horrible. I feel horrible, Kenny. We just left them standing in the octagon with the microphone.
I know. like you and Matt can't pat me on the back or something. You guys didn't even.
Yeah.
Did nothing.
I was patting Al on the back. You want to ask? Okay, I'm done. I'm out.
Get that
mic. That's hilarious.
Out. All right, so Rob does not fight this weekend. Matt, the steamroller Frivola, does. He fights Jalen Turner. And, Ray, it stands to reason that on Saturday night, if we decide to go to the corner cam for Ray Longo, it'll be the most people who have ever watched you corner a fight live. I know you've given this a lot of thought over the last week, but this is the featured prelim on ESPN. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on Matt Frivola this weekend.
Yeah, no, look, he was here last night. He did great. I think he's ready to go. I mean, the guy's got a big height advantage, but I think he'll be ready for it. And he looks good. But, you know, Matt really started in Florida. So Arroyo, you know, I don't really like jumping in on other guys. And I mean, eventually I think it'll change. But for right now, Arroyo will have the mic. So not that I need a mic.
Oh,
but,
listen to this guy. I love it. Hey, you won't make yourself heard.
We'll see. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always weird when a guy comes from another place because it doesn't really happen that much. And I know if my guy went somewhere, or you know, I'd be, you know, whatever. But
it should be
interesting. Yeah. I mean, I had to go berserk in Madison Square Garden because I felt the need to, because that fight with Bandetta was crazy. Oh. But we'll see what happens. But I'll be ready for you.
Ray's like my brother Keith. He's got a megaphone for a voice box. He doesn't need a microphone. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Well, at this point, Kenny, I mean, they mic me up, but I mean, you would think that Sarah has the mic on. I mean, he 100% doesn't need a microphone.
No, he does not. I can hear him.
He's just trying to influence the judges with everything that comes out of his mouth, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we influence any judges, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I know. Let's be real. Hey,
go ahead.
No, all you, man. This is your minute, not mine.
Nah.
Ray, I want to ask you about the fights this weekend, man. A guy you know very well, Kelvin Gastelum, taking on Israel Adesanya. An amazing fight. You know, Israel, a quicker turnaround, as John was saying. Kelvin Gastelum, a guy who's been on fire as of late. He's got that wrestling background, also has power in his hands. How do you see this one going down, man? What's your pick on this one?
Man, I got to tell you, I never, ever pick against Kelvin. You know what I mean? I really like him. Yeah. I love his style, his simplicity, the going forward, the relaxedness, the pressure. I really like him a lot in the way he fights. This matchup, because of the height difference, and then this guy's so used to good stand-up fighters, this is going to be tricky, man. Kelvin, I do believe, is going to have to mix it up. And, you know, look, he's got the power to knock anybody out, but he's going to have to get to this guy. And this is a really, both of these fights are really intriguing to me. You know, can Kelvin get past the, you know, the distance, you know, distance management with Adesanya and impose his pressure? And that's going to be, that for me is the fight. Can he do what he's done to everybody else, which is just keep going forward? I mean, he doesn't have to worry about the takedowns. So, but this is a good fight, man. You know, I'm going to pick Kelvin, like him, but I think this is, out of all the matchups, this might be the worst one for him, but I could be wrong.
Well, you always tend to go with the bigger guy. I mean, size really plays a role, you know, of all of John Jones's gifts, right? I hate to say size for that division is number one, right? But when I start talking about a John Jones fight, the first thing I think about is his size advantage over most of the 205ers.
Which is huge, and he knows how to use it, and he plus, but you know, he's got that grappling, he's got the wrestling background too, that he's really, really good. Jones is just a problem for anybody.
Yeah.
Adesanya, you know, looks like his takedown defense is holding up, but again, he's got great experience with the stand up, and I don't know, man. I don't know. This is a tough one.
And
who's favorite in that fight?
So Adesanya is about a 2-1 favorite, but the line has moved. The line has moved pretty significantly in the last 48 hours, and it seems like the money is coming in on the other side on Kelvin Gastelum. So for our purposes, I'm not sure if you care about your bank account on this show. It hasn't been a great year for you when it comes to picking winners. So you are plus $50 on the year. You get $50 for correctly picking a favorite, $100 for correctly picking an underdog, and that's kind of how we're going to move going forward. So two title fights. It sounds like you have Gastelum as an underdog, and then Max Holloway is a 2-1 favorite against Dustin Poirier. Who do you like in the main event?
Yeah, I think, you know, Holloway's another guy. It's hard to bet against him, and he's just such a volume guy. I mean, even though he lost to him, you know, before, I mean, the only thing, like the only gray areas with Holloway is all the missed weight things in the past. And is he okay in the head? But if he's okay, he's winning that fight. I mean, I think his volume and his ability to take punches and come back with punches and his movement, I think eventually will wear down Dustin Poirier. So I'm picking Holloway.
All right. Max Holloway and Kelvin Gastelum for Ray Longo. I'll also let you know Matt Frivola, slight underdog right now. He's still in the minus. So he's minus 110. Jalen Turner, minus 120. So about as close as it gets. If Frivola wins, you get an extra $100, an extra 50 for the finish. And if he loses, you only pay us 25. So wow. Let's go steamroller.
Let me tell you guys, you guys are fair. I like this game.
All right, last thing before. By the way, you can at least get a haircut if the camera's on ESPN for me.
I'm definitely getting there. I will get a haircut Wednesday night.
Oh,
my hairstylist comes to the gym. You want me to do a video of that?
I would like you to.
It's always good luck when I get a haircut in the octagon before a fight.
Yeah, I love
you
having
could sell you. You could sell those locks, Ray. We could do that here on the Anik and Florian podcast.
We actually need to do that. It's been a lean year. We need to do that.
Yeah.
Of course you have the barber come directly to the gym. All right, buddy. Hey, by the way,
you didn't hear, I'm a big to-do, John. I can't be seen in the local hair shops. I get more.
I know. Too many people.
I wish.
Budding. Just tell her to go a little bit shorter this time around. Just a little bit shorter. You don't realize it. It looks better short. Just have her take it down like a three on top or something, okay?
I will take that advice. I really will. It's all coming off this time.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this. Fast forward 10 years down the line, and one of your fighters says, Ray, I want to do this bare-knuckle boxing thing. I need like 25 Gs. What do you think about this bare-knuckle boxing? I think Kenny and I are kind of middling on it a little bit. Don't love seeing the young father, Jason Knight, take all this damage, but I also don't know what he got paid.
Yeah, right. I don't think he got paid that much. And, I didn't see the fight. I saw the after pictures, man. These are guys that really want to fight. That's the first thing. If you're in there, definitely.
That's probably the best point that's been made today. You're right.
Yeah, you really, you're fighting. Like, you know, I didn't even know Jason Knight was out of the UFC until this weekend. Because I've been in the locker room with him a bunch of times. He's a really nice guy, and he wants to fight. He's nuts, man. So, let's see if we could come up with a positive. I guess that's better for him to do than to be swinging at somebody on the street. How's that?
There you go. Well, safe travels to Atlanta, and I'll see if I can talk to the producers and try to get you a little FaceTime on ESPN on Saturday night.
Oh, man, John, it's good to know people, buddy.
Yeah, like I have any pull when it comes to that. All right, buddy, thanks for the extended time. Right. I'll see you in a few days.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
There he is. Ray Longo every week here on the Anakin Florian podcast. All right, so we talked a little bit about Holloway and Poirier off the top of the show, and at 155 pounds, how difficult it is, even if you are a contender, to realize a championship fight. And I think there are a lot of guys in the top 10 that are dealing with that reality, Kenny, sometimes for 3 or 4 years. You know, a guy like Paul Felder, who's won 4 straight fights at 155 pounds, I don't even want to think about how many fights away he is from an eliminator type fight right now. And I say that with all due respect. Justin Gaethje went into that main event against Edson Barboza for some reason, number 8 in the world. Now he's in the top 5 within striking distance. But all of a sudden, you know, Cerrone comes back down, or Pettis goes on a run at welterweight, and they bring some name recognition. And Khabib, of course, is going to defend against the winner of this fight. It's just hard, man, at 55 to realize these chances. And I'm very excited to see which guy can maximize it this weekend, Max or Dustin.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. I mean, listen, this is a sport that is also entertainment, right? So it's a business, and the way that these matches are being put together obviously aren't being based solely on rankings. And let's be honest, there's a lot of luck involved in it as well as far as timing. You know, being injured, not being injured, being at the right place at the right time, how many people are watching you fight, you know, what kind of business are you bringing to the UFC? What kind of name are you? You know, how much excitement are you bringing to the octagon? Who did you call out or not call out? There's so many factors in putting these fights together. And, you know, not all the fighters are going about it the right way, or whatever you want to call it. So Dustin Poirier was at the right place at the right time, and it worked out for him, and he's in a great position to be a belt holder here in the UFC.
And for a moment there, with Tony Ferguson's name being a prominent factor, it looked like maybe he was going to be in the wrong place, despite putting the resume on paper. So, and this is the type of fight, too. I think if you're Dustin Poirier, even if you're injured, you ain't pulling out of this one, you know? I mean, because you can be sure, if he gets that new UFC championship belt and brings that to Louisiana and puts it on the mantle, he ain't going to care that it's an interim championship belt. You know what I mean? Like, that has been the goal, is to go home. And it Kelvin Gastelum, he's had the hashtag on a mission for gold for 6 years now. You know, I really don't want to hear about the interim asterisk this weekend, because these are two huge fights and I can't wait to call them, you know?
Without a doubt, man, there are so great fighters who will never, ever fight for a belt in the UFC. So just getting an interim belt alone is an impressive accomplishment. Again, they're not setting you up against some chump. It's always going to be a difficult fight against another great fighter with a lot of momentum. And this is a huge fight here for Holloway and Poirier. Same goes for Adesanya and Gastelum.
575 or 600 fighters on this roster, and there really aren't a whole lot of happy-to-be-theirs, Kenny, right? Like, fighters who are just happy to be on the UFC roster. The overwhelming majority of these men and women have legitimate championship aspirations and feel like getting to the UFC, they are one of the best in the world in their weight class, and that gives them the chance to prove it. And in most cases, right, they get chewed up and spit out. A lot of them are able to make a run and hope that they can be in position to get the opportunity that is going to be bestowed on these three, four gentlemen this weekend. So quickly on Gastelum Adesanya before we get to the predictions. So Kelvin Gastelum didn't have a chance to compete back in February, and that was very difficult for him, but certainly will try to take the momentum of that training camp into this one and beat Israel Adesanya, a very different challenge that Robert Whittaker would have been. Now, when Anthony Smith got the chance to fight John Jones, he was hoping to fight him in July. Okay. Instead, he fought him in March and now is going to fight Alexander Gustafsson before we even get to that July date. I mentioned earlier for Adesanya, and again, this is really just speculation. We'll talk to him on Thursday that maybe it isn't the ideal timeline for his first UFC title fight. What do you make of that circumstance in terms of this fight? The fact that it's a very quick turn back into a championship training camp for Adesanya and for Gastelum just dealing with the mental hurdle that was not competing back in Australia in February.
Well, I think there's two conflicting things at play here with Adesanya's turnaround here. You look at his career, he has been extremely active. He's had a lot of success being extremely active and having these quick turnarounds in the UFC. If I'm not mistaken, John, I believe he has been the most active UFC fighter, or certainly one of the most active UFC fighters in the last couple years.
Yeah, he would have to be. I mean, yeah. He debuted February 11, 2018. He's 13 months in, 5-0.
Yeah, and it served him well. I mean, you look at it, he's undefeated, some impressive performances. Here's the other conflicting thing at play for me. He's fighting a very different guy in Kelvin Gastelum. You can argue Derek Brunson, hey, that was a wrestler. That's a guy who can take you down. Derek Brunson, to me, while he was a little bit of a threat for sure with his takedown game, seemed so scared when he went out there to fight Adesanya. He seemed intimidated. I don't know if he had an injury heading into that. Whatever it was, right. It seemed like he didn't fully want to be there against Adesanya, and Adesanya was able to make quick work of him because of that. Kelvin Gastelum is a guy that when the lights shine bright, yep, he comes to fight no matter what. This guy loves to fight, and he is going to show all of his skills and more on fight night. His takedowns are going to be more of a threat than Brunson's are, in my opinion. Why? Because he's also not afraid to get in the pocket and be right in that distance to either hit you or take you down. And he's a high-pressure fighter as well. And to make matters worse, has a tremendous chin on him. So for me, I would like to see Adesanya have more time to really drill his wrestling, to get his takedown and distance management in play a little bit more. Because it is a quick turnaround. So, yeah.
Gastelum has great offensive wrestling, and a lot of people think maybe in opportune times he'll lean on it more in this fight than in past UFC fights. 85% takedown defense for Israel Adesanya. Of course, this isn't Rob Wilkinson shooting a double leg takedown. This is Kelvin Gastelum. But it's going to be very interesting, you know. The measurables are pretty scary, right? 6'4 versus 5'9". 8.5 inches in reach flow, 80 inches versus 71.5 for Kelvin Gastelum. But I also thought the 40-cent line move was very interesting, and I think indicative of the fact that Kelvin Gastelum, among other things, great mixed martial artist, well-rounded in every area, but absolutely a big game player, right? Like, the get-up-off-your-couch fighter with no training camp, he's in my top five every day of the week. You know, give me one fighter to win a pro MMA fight with no training camp, give me Kelvin Gastelum. All right, we got to get to the picks. Before we get there, though, time for the pronunciation of the week. TJ DeSantis, 0-2. I think it's actually 0-3 on the year. So this light heavyweight hopeful makes his 11th UFC appearance on Saturday night. He will do so in a rematch with Ovince St. Preux on pay-per-view. His nickname is the Miner. TJ DeSantis, of whom am I speaking?
Nikita Krylov.
All right, can we hear Nikita say it?
Nikita Krylov. Nikita Krylov.
And there it is. So you got one right. No Krylov here. Nikita Krylov. Ken Flo, TJ's on the board.
He is. I mean, listen, we were going to talk about maybe cutting him if he lost this one.
Yeah.
But no, he could stay on the podcast. That's good. Nice job, TJ. You're still here.
One listener suggested that we have Longo be the guy that just send him the name in print. And I think that we might have to go in that direction. You know?
That would be hilarious.
As he called Israel Adesanya a Sonya today. Right? He'll just be like, you know what? I'm going to take this syllable. I'm going to fucking take it out of the word. All right, TJ, 1-3 after hitting on Nikita Krylov. And I promise you, TJ did not listen to the file before the show, except today. I think he did. All right. UFC 236 beckons this weekend. Holloway versus Poirier 2. Fight Pass prelims, ESPN prelims. Main card is on pay-per-view. Let's get to the main event challenge.
It's the main event challenge. Anik.
The time is most definitely now.
Poirier.
I finish fight. I'm going to do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
All right, it was 45-32 Team Anik going into UFC Fight Night Barboza versus Gaethje in Philly. And Kyle Lund continued the beatdown. He beats the flow 6-2.
Dope.
Big wins on Jack Hermanson, and he had Justin Gaethje as underdog by knockout. It is now 51-34. It is good for the largest lead in main event challenge history. That said, we blew a 14-point lead in 2018, so you just never know. But joining us to make picks today, Ken Flo, we got a South Carolina guy repping the 864.
Yes.
Chris Heitz is with us. Chris, is that the right pronunciation on the surname, Chris Heitz?
That is exactly right. And let me tell you, John, today's going to be the day where we spread the lead a little bit bigger. How about that?
Let us get this thing going. Even when TJ was bringing Chris on, I like the sound to your voice. What a nice last name, Heitz, H-E-I-T-Z. I mean, any number
you like
of
that
nicknames.
Strong, powerful, right?
It is, Chris.
The
I mean,
strong
if you were a fighter, did you have any amateur fights, anything like that? I mean, a lot of nickname possibilities when your last name is Heitz.
Yeah, I have plenty with my wife, Amy.
There you go.
And a losing record as of now.
I bet. Yeah. Right. See, she can hit me. My wife can hit me, but I can't hit her. You know, so
exactly,
and she's
right.
Connected.
Exactly.
All right, let's get to it. We got five picks on the main card. Ovin St. Preux, Nikita Krylov, the rematch here. Both fighters -115. So we pick them right now here on Monday during fight week, at least according to Las Vegas. They fought in 2014 at UFC 170 night. 170 night. That was UFC 171. OSP won the first time around via his patented Von Flue choke 89 seconds into round one. Rematch Saturday night, Chris. Who do you like?
Well, the thing about the first fight that you got to look at, Krylov, he took that fight on real short notice. He just knocked out Walt Harris at heavyweight, and then 5 weeks later took this fight at light heavyweight. So you got to think about that weight cut. You got to think about that short notice. And since then, Krylov, you got to look at what he's done. He's never lost two fights in a row. His stand-up game is incredible, 10 knockouts, 14 submissions. The guy can wrestle. You got to look at the last fight that St. Preux had. He was beaten up pretty bad in the fight with Reyes. You can look at it on paper. It says it was a unanimous decision, but it was a knockout. I saw it. I think everybody saw it. How's he going to come back from that? I don't think it's going to be well. I don't think that that he's going to come through. I think that Krylov being 9 years younger. Another interesting thing to look at, the odds in the first fight, -650 for Ovit St. Preux.
Wow.
Odds on this fight are square. That tells you a lot, right?
Oh, look at Chris just bringing
Vegas is seeing something. They're seeing what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing that Krylov's going to take the victory.
All right. Chris is on Nikita Krylov. Kenny, when they met the first time, both guys had a decent amount of experience. It was just the third UFC fight, though, for both guys. Now St. Preux's 19th UFC start. He was supposed to face Misha Serkinov at UFC 235 a month ago, pulled out due to injury, and as such, here we are with his rematch against Nikita Krylov. Which way are you going, kid?
You know, this is certainly a close one. I think both guys have made big improvements since their first fight, but I think Krylov has made more improvements for sure. Just seems way more comfortable, and OSP just hasn't been adding a whole lot to his game. However, I still like him in this one. I think he's a little bit more dangerous. I don't see him getting a finish, but I'm going to go with OSP here.
All right, Ken Flo goes with Ovince St. Preux -115 against Nikita Krylov. All right, next on the main card, fellas, at welterweight, Alan Joban -125 versus Dwight Grant, who is the slight underdog at -105. Chris, another close one here according to Vegas, but according to Chris Heights, which way are you going, Joban or Grant?
God, I love this fight. This fight is going to be a great fight. Alan Joban's last fight, just the emotion after that Ben Saunders fight that he shared after the octagon after a couple of losses was just absolutely incredible. He wanted to come back hard, fast, strong, and unfortunately had that neck injury. He kept him sidelined for a while. Dwight Grant, you got to love the guy. He's got some highlight reel knockouts, Dana White Contender Series standout. Carl Bedrosi saw the mouthpiece flying through the air. Right. But Alan Joban, he is just violent, relentless pressure, incredible leg strikes, great combinations, just constant, constant pressure. Nothing like Dwight Grant's ever seen, and I think that's why Joban's going to take the victory.
All right, good analysis there, Chris. Neither guy all that young, Ken Flo. The body snatcher, Dwight Grant, 34. Got his first UFC win in February. Joban now 37. That Ben Saunders fight, of course, the last time he has fought, had to pull out of a fight, I believe, against Danny Roberts due to what Chris was describing, bulging disc in his neck. I think Ken Flo likes Alan Joban here. Ken Flo, talk to me. Who do you like?
I do indeed. And I like him personally as well. He's a friend. So it'd be hard for me to go against Alan Joban, against anybody because of my relationship with him. But I truly believe he's a little bit cleaner everywhere than Dwight Grant is. And I see him getting a TKO maybe a little bit late in the fight.
And that is a platonic relationship, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, featured bout here in the light heavyweight division has your boy Eric Anders, the -190 favorite against Khalil Roundtree Jr. The latter can be had at +155. Chris, which way are you going here, Eric Anders or Khalil Roundtree Jr.?
This almost seems like a must win situation for Eric Anders. He's lost what, 3 out of 4 fights now. Good fights, but where does he go from here? The problem is he's taking on Khalil Roundtree, which I think is a more polished fighter. I think they're both great stand-up fighters, but I think Khalil Roundtree is just a little bit more polished. His last fight, he lost to Johnny Walker, but after the loss, he actually went to Thailand, moved to Thailand to train at Tiger Muay Thai. For training. I mean, when somebody does that, he's dedicated. He wants to learn. He's ready. And I think that's what's going to get him the victory. I'm going with Khalil Roundtree.
So you heard Chris before picking the underdog Khalil Roundtree Jr. talk about Eric Anders and some of the recent struggles. He fought 4 times in 2018, did lose 3 of them. 5-round split decision to Lyoto Machida, got knocked out by Thiago Santos, and then that split decision loss at UFC 231 in December against the underrated Elias Theodoro. So still getting the favorite treatment here from Vegas. Kenny, I thought this would be a little bit closer, candidly, on paper. I remember the big win for Roundtree Jr. against Gokhan Saki. I know he gave a lot of that momentum back, of course, in the loss to Johnny Walker Blue, but I think this is closer on paper. I think some bettors might see value with Roundtree Jr. in that +155 range. What are your thoughts, kid?
Well, listen, I think that fight against Machida, there's no doubt, obviously, he didn't have as much experience as Machida. I thought he showed a lot of heart late in the fight. I think that the fight against Thiago Santos, he took that on late notice, on short notice, and, you know, it didn't go well for him, but listen, I was really impressed with his toughness. That was a crazy fight. And the fight against Theodoro, I thought he won. So, again, I do like this fight for him. Why? Because Khalil Roundtree, to me, while he has a lot of potential on the feet and perhaps is the way more explosive striker, he's very hesitant. He can be very hesitant at times, and he's been very inconsistent as well. So he's a hard guy to rely on as far as the betters go. So for me, I'm going to go with Eric Anders. I think he's more of a threat on the ground as well. Roundtree just does not have a ground game that gives me a whole lot of confidence there. If he can settle down on the feet, I think Roundtree can get it done. I think he is the better striker, but I think Anders is going to find a way to take this fight to the ground and get the win there by TKO. So I'm going with Eric Anders.
All right, Kemflo on Eric Anders -190 against Roundtree Jr. All right, here we go, men. Co-headliner for the UFC interim middleweight title. Israel Adesanya, he was minus 210 when I sent you guys the lines over the weekend. Now he's minus 170. So if you are betting Adesanya, you're getting a far better price than you were getting 2 days ago. Kelvin Gastelum, of course, goes from plus 170 to plus 140, meaning that if you're playing Kelvin Gastelum right now, you're getting a stale price, which isn't necessarily ideal. Chris, championship fight as such will need the round and the method of victory. You going with Adesanya or KG?
Here's the thing. You got to look at Kelvin Gastelum. Let's take a look at his last 7 of 10 fights. Souza, Bisping, Weidman, Belfort, Hendricks, Woodley, Marquardt. All previous champions in either Strikeforce or the UFC. Okay. Oh, by the way, the other three that weren't were Tim Kennedy, Neil Magny, and Jake Ellenberger. Imagine that for your last 10 fights.
Yeah.
You look at Israel Adesanya. What great fight against Anderson Silva. In my opinion, if Adesanya was behind all the hype that they talk about, it should have been a first or second round knockout. That's my opinion. But Kelvin Gastelum trained for a 5-round championship fight. He cut weight, he made weight, and took zero damage versus Robert Whittaker. At the same time, Israel Adesanya has fought in 5 times in the last year, last calendar year. That's a lot. That's a lot of fights. Kelvin Gastelum, he needs to stay inside. He's got strong power. If he stays outside of Adesanya's reach, uses clinching, dirty boxing, wrestling, he's going to take it. He's going to get the victory. I don't think he's going to be able to knock him out. I don't think he's going to be able to catch him, but I do think he is going to stay outside Adesanya's reach, and I do think he is going to win by decision.
All right, Kelvin Gastelum by decision for Chris Heights. All right, Ken Flo, Adesanya, we mentioned on the roster, 13 months. So you're talking 6 UFC fights in 14 months. But in that time, he really has become one of the promotion's go-tos, one of the biggest superstars on this roster. All indications are he sells tickets. I think he moves the celebrity needle as well. We'll find out, I think, this weekend to what extent he can move the pay-per-view needle. 16-0 overall. Of course, Whittaker had that fight go away on fight day, as Chris referenced. Minus 170 for Adesanya, plus 140 for Gastelum. Who leaves Atlanta the UFC interim middleweight champion?
Well, Adesanya obviously has a big-time reach advantage and height advantage. He's going to have to utilize that, obviously, repeatedly against Gastelum. The best kind of wrestling is when you can keep him on the outside and not even let them touch your leg or clinch with you. Adesanya does that quite well. I just don't think he's faced anyone like a Kelvin Gastelum, who's going to be a high-pressure fighter, who can also counter, who can also beat up the body and go upstairs with power and actually threaten you with that power and get respect early on. And I think that's also going to put him in takedown range. I don't think it's going to be easy early. Early on, Adesanya does a great job of setting the pace and keeping you on the outside. But I think it's over time where Gastelum will start to chip away at Adesanya. I think his patience, his composure, and his experience against high-level competition will eventually pay off. I thought Adesanya matched up way better against Robert Whittaker than against Kelvin Gastelum. Yeah. So I don't know. I think Ray was saying that he didn't like this matchup for Kelvin Gastelum. I disagree. I think it's a great matchup for Gastelum. And I'm going to go with Gastelum TKO round 3. Now, you won't find a bigger fan than Adesanya and me. I've been looking at Adesanya for a very long time. I just think this is a little bit too early, and I just don't love this matchup, in my opinion, at this point in their careers. I would have liked to seen Adesanya have maybe one or two more before Kelvin Gastelum. Again, Gastelum's a guy who just always shines brightest when the lights are on, and this is his biggest fight, and I think he's going to show up and show up big.
And that dovetails with exactly what you said when the Whittaker-Gastelum fight went away, Kenny, right? That's what you said on that Monday morning, that you think that if we spin this forward, that this is the better matchup for Kelvin Gastelum. Chris, you want to add something there?
Yeah, I love Adesanya as well. He's phenomenal. But I think, Kenny, you said it perfect. UFC has a little bit of a habit of pushing fighters a little bit too quickly. You look at Darren Till, Francis Ngannou. I think it was a little bit too fast for a title shot for some of those guys. And you're looking at a guy who has never been knocked out in Kelvin Gastelum, who has fought nothing but killers.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure about the knockout, but I do think that he's definitely going to take the win.
Well, and sometimes,
taking
you know,
nothing away against Adesanya. I love the guy, but
sometimes
you go
there are circumstances that result in these guys, you know, having these title runs get expedited. But certainly among the things going for Kelvin Gastelum, as you both referenced, the strength of schedule. When you look at Adesanya, you know, it's Wilkinson and Vettori and Brad Tavares and Bronson and Anderson Silva, not the murderer's row that Gastelum has faced. All right. Main event, Max Holloway -215, Dustin Poirier +175, 13 in a row for Max Holloway. He is the featherweight champion, thus he will get the red corner treatment for this one against Dustin Poirier. Chris, who do you think wins the main event, and how do they get it done?
Listen, John, this one, buddy, I'm sorry I can't make any promises. I have no clue on this one. Yeah. This is an incredible, incredible fight. Holloway has the highest striking rate in featherweights, and Poirier has the highest striking weight in lightweight history. I mean, these guys are going to brawl. First fight, you can't even look at that. I think it was 2 weeks' notice that Max Holloway took that fight. It was his first UFC appearance. Obviously, you're going to have the butterflies, the jitters, whatever. He still looked pretty good in the fight. But they're two completely different fighters, completely different. Both of them are incredible, incredible boxers. The thing that I think that is going to win the fight for Holloway is going to be the speed. And I'll tell you why. I think it was Chael Sonnen said it. He said, when you have a lighter fighter that moves up in weight, when you have about a 10-pound difference, a strike's not going to make that big of an impact. But when you have a 10-pound difference in weight and you're used to those lighter fights, you're going to be a lot quicker. That's what's going to make the difference. I look at Ortega's fight, Holloway and Ortega's fight. He was so fast. His combinations were flawless. His boxing was pristine. It's just a performance that was a Hall of Fame performance in itself. You look at Dustin Poirier, same kind of boxing, maybe not as quick, though, maybe not as fast. It's still just as good, but the difference in Poirier, I think, as good as he is at offensive boxing, he doesn't defend the boxing as well. He doesn't hold his hands high. He's prone to getting clipped. And I think once he gets you hit, he goes in for the finish. He goes in for the kill. I think Max Holloway does a little bit better job staying away, keeps picking you apart, picking you apart, picking you apart. I've got to go with Holloway, but I don't think he's going to be able to knock Poirier out. I think it's going to go to a decision.
All right, Chris Heitz goes Holloway by decision, representing the great state of South Carolina. Chris, great job, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much, fellas. I appreciate it.
All right, so Chris Heitz going with Gastelum by decision and Holloway by decision in the two title fights. Ken Flo went with Gastelum by TKO in round three, and now we will get your selection on Holloway Poirier. Before you do that, I just want to get one final thing out here. So Dustin Poirier, I'll take you back to September 17th, 2016, Dateline Hidalgo, Texas, main event against Michael Johnson. This was it for Poirier. This was going to put him in lightweight title contention, gets knocked out in 95 seconds, and again has to fucking hit that reset button on the career at 155 pounds. You can tell I'm on this theme, and maybe by the end of the week I'll be on to something else. But so then he goes majority decision over Jim Miller, no contest with Eddie Alvarez, TKO of Anthony Pettis, fourth round TKO of Justin Gaethje that just looks better by the minute. And then, of course, he did get the Alvarez rematch, stopped him in round two. I think richly deserving of this championship opportunity, Kenny. But going up against a guy in Max Holloway who, in my mind, absolutely deserves the distinction as a 2-1 favorite on a serious Hall of Fame historic run, what do you think about Poirier and Holloway? And ultimately, we will need a winner.
I love the backdrop there that you set up for me, because Dustin Poirier is a guy that is such a great example of persevering through this adversity and through the roller coaster rides that you experience in both life and in the octagon. You see some other guys, they get up to the top and they fail and they come back weaker or less confident or with the same skill set or worse. Dustin Poirier has not only improved mentally, spiritually, and physically, but also technically as a martial artist. And that is what is most impressive to me about Dustin Poirier. you know, again, being in that fight against Michael Johnson, it seemed like, yeah, he was going against a faster fighter who was just landing shot after shot. What did he do? He came back and just really improved his overall game and his defense. And he just kept getting better. And so many times we just look at failure and say, well, that's it. This guy doesn't have it anymore.
Right.
And a lot of times we do that to ourselves. Dustin Poirier never did that. He has come back. You look at his last three fights. And he has impressed the hell out of me. And I wasn't so sure about Dustin Poirier, but after seeing his last three fights against Anthony Pettis, Justin Gaethje, and the rematch against Eddie Alvarez, I've just been blown away, man. Those are very tough guys. And he came out not only looking like a more confident fighter, but he was technically superior to all those guys. The most impressive fight out of all those three was the one against Justin Gaethje. My goodness, what a performance. Oh, yeah. And then you have Max Holloway, a guy who absolutely destroyed Brian Ortega, made Ortega look like he wasn't even in the same at the same level or even deserved to be there. Just a different level on the feet. Max Holloway is probably a little bit cleaner as a fighter, perhaps a little bit faster, but just does not have the power, in my opinion, to really put away a fighter like Dustin Poirier, who has an excellent chin and will come forward on him. I also think the fact that Dustin Poirier's double leg takedown and his ground game will still be at a superior level than Max Holloway. So Max has to be careful not only with the striking power and combinations of Dustin Poirier, but also with the takedown and jiu-jitsu game of Dustin Poirier. He is going against a larger fighter as well. I see Dustin Poirier winning this fight by decision. And you know, this is a tough one. I've been going back and forth on this one. I have immense respect for both of these gentlemen. But the way that they match up, I think is going to be the difference here. I'm going with Poirier by decision.
All right, so there you have it. Ken Flo goes Dustin Poirier by decision. I mean, we could have done 45 minutes on that fight alone. You know, in terms of the measurables, if you care, Holloway's 2 inches taller. Dustin Poirier will have a 3-inch reach advantage. All right, we got to get out of here. Big one Saturday night, folks. UFC 236, Holloway versus Poirier. I'll be working the pay-per-view. I think it's Joe Rogan, Daniel Cormier. I'm also hosting the post show on ESPN Plus on that internet. That's right after the main event, so hopefully many of you can stay up for that. BattleBots Kid, we wish you the best with that. And dude, don't be afraid to text me the free analysis. I told you I'd pay you $20 for a text I use on the air.
I will, man. I will.
All right, buddy. Sure. I'll talk to you on Monday for Ken Flo for Longo, our guy TJ DeSantis behind the glass. Thank you all for listening. I'm John Anik. We will talk to you in less than 7 days. Have a great week. You'll
The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast is a TJ DeSantis production. Its content is intended for private use only.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, we take on a couple of villains to sort out whether bad stuff is also illegal stuff. George Santos won a seat in Congress by lying to voters, but is that a crime? And Kanye West made it clear he hates Jews. In England, he'd go to jail for that. Here in America, did he commit a hate crime? Listen to Too Many Lawyers on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.